BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcast.
Scott Mills.
All right, here is Thursday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. I have a train journey with someone off Love Island. Where do you think they were? Where was our listener Sam conceived? And another special bit that you only get on the podcast, another vintage 24 years at the tap end. Scott Mills, BBC Radio. Well, what a brilliant morning. I was in South Oxfordshire this morning for Greg James's party for the young carers, and it was so special. The astonished look on their faces as they all kind of burst into the room because they just didn't know what to expect. And thanks to you lot, we just gave them the ultimate Christmas party. Like so many sweets, mince pies, donuts, decorations. There was a massive tree outside which took like firemen and farmers and forklifts to get into place. It was that big. Like a candy stand where you could just help yourself. An enchanted forest. All the props, all donated. All the party foods. They even got, everyone got an awesome party bag as they left as well. Like they had a great time. So thank you very much. And I thought it sounded great on the radio as well earlier. Whipped out the crab again. Don't think that would happen.
Scott Mills.
Also on Greg James's show this morning for the young carers in Oxfordshire was EL off of Love Island, who I'd never met before. What a thoroughly nice bloke. And he read some Charles Dickens for us. How very Christmas.
Spoiler alert! Tiny Tim did not die. Scrooge was a second father to him. Scrooge became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh and little heeded them. For he was wise enough to know that nothing good ever happened on this globe at which some people did not have their fill of laughter at the outset. His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. It was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed that knowledge. May that be truly said of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
So, me and Matt Edmondson then shared a train home with EL back to London. Anyone jealous? And I got a real insight into what it's like to be really good looking. As we walked down the train carriage, I know he was on telly in that, but like literally everybody, men and women, were like, whoa, gawping at him. And it's like, that's what it's like. He has that all the time. He's used to that every single day. But people just literally like, bow. Anyway, I was about to try and get EL on to rate me and Matt Edmondson's train chat because we'd never met EL. And you know what it's like when you first meet someone, it can be awkward. But I think me and Matt's train chat was really strong with him. We managed all the way from Didcot Parkway to Paddington, which is a good 40, sometimes 45 minutes. Didn't run out of things to say. When EL went to the toilet, I was like, Matt, we need some talking points. What are we going to talk about? But we did really well. Anyway, we've tried to get a hold of him, but EL is currently in a fashion meeting that he's got a casting at for. Of course he has.
Scott Mills.
Here's what we did when we spoke to Sam earlier in the week and recorded a Where Do You Think They Were?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. You're about to find out where you were made on Where Do You Think They Were?
Unfortunately so, yeah.
What made you think, I'm going to apply for this?
I thought it would make funny radio.
See, that's
my dad's always wanted to be the radio.
Good
that's
for
what
you,
I want.
Sam. Good
See,
for you.
That is true, taking one for the team. We've said it before. I know that people love listening to this feature, but the idea of taking part sometimes isn't as attractive. What you've done there is you've stepped up, Sam, and I appreciate it. Okay, so we're going to speak to your dad today, are you?
He's around somewhere in the northwest.
Okay,
right. We don't get too many dads on this feature so far.
No,
actually,
we don't.
Scott. So this makes this a little bit special. Is your dad a bit of a ladies' man?
He probably likes to think he is.
Describe his demeanour. Is he quite suave?
Yeah, on a good day. He's a bit of a character, I think most people would say.
Well, so far on Where Do You Think They Were, on previous episodes, we've had people being made in cars, on boats. There was one on a bridge. And last week, they were conceived in an orchestra pit. So who knows what's going to happen today?
Wow. Right, OK. Let's see what happens then.
You just never know where it's going to happen.
All right then, okay. Sam. Well, brace yourself.
Remember, at the end of it, you get an epic birthday shout-out, OK?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Scott Mills.
I would like your reaction, please, after you hear this story today. Text me your feelings on 81199. Hey, Sam.
Hey, How are you doing?
Good. You're on today's Where Do You Think They Were? And let's meet your dad, Peter. Hello, Peter.
Hello. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Are you ready?
I think so.
Peter, ages ago, years ago, were you the one that gave Sam the talk? Or was it someone else?
No, it was me.
Okay, so that must have been the last time that really we've talked in this sort of detail.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, shall I? Would you like me to provide some music?
Scott, I would love you to play the sexy music.
Okay, Sam, brace yourself, okay?
Yeah, already.
Peter, really take your time with this. We'll chip in with a few questions, okay?
Yeah, we'd love all the detail, Peter. So, take us back.
Okay, well, 1986, March. Pretty cold. I'd gone down to London with Sam's mum, and we were staying with some friends in Twickenham. We got down there about lunchtime, and he told me to book tickets to go and see Jim Davidson in a show that night.
Right, so for people that don't know, who is he?
He's a comedian.
So where did you go first, Peter? Did you go for a lovely meal?
We had a meal at the Lakeside in Camberley, which is where he was appearing. So it was kind of a cabaret club at the time, so we had dinner at the theatre.
Lovely. And did you treat yourself to something nice there? A couple of steaks?
Yeah, we did. My wife had oysters, as I remember.
Wow. Aphrodisiac, isn't it?
So they tell me.
I can imagine it now.
We had a bottle of her favourite wine, a bottle of Sancerre.
Lovely.
Pass me the Sancerre, waiter. Yeah. We're having a big one. Here you go, Sam's mum. Get this down your throat. The oysters. Just the oysters.
Half a dozen oysters.
Half a dozen oysters, waiter.
And a bottle of Sancerre.
Okay. So the show started. And he was very funny. And he just finished off telling a story about Brian Isle on bedsheets.
So you had a lovely time at the comedy night, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was really good.
Jim Davidson was hilarious.
All the best jokes. What was next?
Well, it was time we headed back to Twickenham, where they lived. And we were just going to have a late drink. And my friend put a bit of Andy Williams music on.
Lovely. Oh, what one?
It was an album of his, but You're Just Too Good to Be True.
Tune. I love this song. It's like a wedding song, isn't it, Scott?
You're just too
good to be true. This would put me in the mood.
Another bottle of Sancerre.
I think we've moved on to gin and tonics by then.
Of course you had. G&T, Scott.
Yes.
Sam's mum.
Okay, well, this would put anyone in the mood, I think. You're just too good to be true. Sam, are you okay, by the way?
I'm sitting down.
Peter, talk me through the next bit, if you will.
Yeah, well, it was all too soon. It was time to turn in for the night and go to bed. We'd been sitting there laughing about this Brian Nylon bedsheet joke for about half an hour.
That's been hilarious.
And we went up to find our room, pull the sheets back, and lo and behold, guess what? He had Brian Nylon bedsheets on the bed.
No way!
Which was hysterical. Brian Nylon bedsheets create an awful lot of static electric.
Was that the joke?
No, the sparks were flying out after that.
Oh, here we go. Everyone join in, come on. Peter, take it!
I love you, baby, and it's quite all right.
I'm so sorry.
Wow.
Oh. Wow, so it went from there. So it was just a mix of the Sancerre, the oysters.
The static from the bedsheets.
The bedsheet joke. It just all crescendoed into a wonderful moment.
Exactly.
And Sam was created.
Yeah.
You see, Sam, I struggle to keep oysters down whenever I try them, but I think you're going to really struggle from now on.
You're just...
Imagine your mother.
Come on, guys.
All right, I think you've suffered enough.
Yeah, thanks very much for that.
Yeah, well, at least you know now.
Yeah, it's all in the open for everyone to hear. Thank you.
Sam, wait there. Your birthday shout-out is coming.
Scott Mills.
How are you feeling? Brandon on the M4 says, best one yet. Those oysters really worked a treat. I'm very much considering using this as my alarm maybe in the morning to wake me up. Just Sam's dad saying hello.
Hello.
Hello, Sam's dad.
Hello.
Hello. Sam has just heard the story of where he was made on Where Do You Think They Were? You've had a few minutes now to let that sink in. How are you feeling?
Sick.
Took me by surprise there, Sam, but you felt sick.
Sick.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sick, yes.
Yeah.
Don't say it again.
Well, that'll be the oysters. And the static coming from the bed sheets.
Oh. Yeah, he doesn't leave much to do with the imagination.
No, it was the bit where he started singing the song. I was like, okay, you're really getting into the zone here.
I would have loved to have been there for the talk. Pardon? From your what? Dad. Not oh, there. Right. No, sorry, I mean from the original talk, because he's so sort of to the point and almost military-like in how he describes everything. Yes, moved on to the oysters, yeah. The sunset.
Then the sunset.
Yeah, he'd probably say he's on Radio 2.
Then the bedroom.
Yeah, he'd be great on Radio 2.
Yeah, he would. Okay, Sam, you have more than earned it. Here is your epic birthday shout-out.
Well, Sam, what can I say? I'm so happy that laughter was the fuel for your parents' carnal desires and that you are in the world. Happy birthday. Lots of love from Kyle.
I'm so sorry for you to hear that news from your parents. But happy birthday.
Hello there. This is Alan Carr. Wow, that was really awkward. I hope this birthday shout-out was worth it. Happy birthday, Sam. Ugh.
Sam, you happy now?
Amazing, yeah, that's brilliant. Thanks
I didn't even
much.
I didn't even ask you, when is your birthday?
Monday.
Sam, thank you for being the latest person on Where Do You Think They Were?
Cheers, guys. Have a good Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Scott Mills.
We are at day 20 of the WhoVent calendar. It's like your normal chocolate advent calendar, but full of Whos. Emily from Wilmslow was on my Twitter earlier saying, I genuinely get actually more excited for my daily WhoVent calendar than my one filled with chocolate. Good, it's coming up. Another massive Who. I'm going to get a couple of reactions to today's Where Do You Think They Were? Which features some very staticky bed sheets. Lizzie, how are you feeling?
It made the inside of my mouth sweat, actually, all of that, and slightly bilious. I think the worst part was the brine iron sheets, and all I could picture was the mum after a good roll around, her hair looking like it had been brushed with a balloon.
Okay, thanks for that image. You've made it worse.
And that was my wedding song as well, which, you know, is forever tarnished.
Right, okay, so it made your mouth sweat.
Mmm.
Okay, let's see if it happens again.
Brian Allen bed sheets create an awful lot of static electric.
Was that the joke?
The sparks were flying out after that.
Oh, here we go. Everyone join in, come on. Peter, take it!
I love you, baby,
oh,
and
Sam,
it's quite all
I'm so
right.
Sorry.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow, so it went from there. So it was just a mix of the sunset, the oysters.
The static from the bed sheets.
The bed sheet joke. It just all crescendoed into a wonderful moment.
Exactly.
I need to speak to Amy. Amy, how are you feeling after Where Do You Think They Were?
I think that was probably one of the funniest things I've ever heard on radio.
Really? Okay. Anything
it
that made you feel
very
a bit uncomfortable?
Funny. It was the static, I think. The static bed sheets.
Do you know what did it for me? And it's nothing to do with the story. It's it's Sam's dad, Peter, just saying hello.
I think he's great. It was a really good story. I'd never heard the feature before on radio. And I think I probably found it a lot more funny than anyone else in the workroom. I thought it was great.
Thanks, Amy. Would you ever take part in Where Do You Think They Were?
No, I would never want to know. No.
I know. Listen, if you do, and I know it's a big ask, email scott.mills@bbc.co.uk and I'll be calling you and your parent and saying hello.
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 scott.mills@bbc.co.uk, please. I know, but take one for the team. It's just a few minutes of uncomfortable radio with you and either your mum or dad, but you get an epic birthday shout-out as a result.
Scott Mills.
BBC.
Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
Hiya, Tom.
Hi, Scott.
So what do you do?
I'm an e-commerce manager.
Okay, and when are you working up till?
Christmas Eve.
Okay, we're going to be on in the morning next week, actually, so make sure you join us in the morning.
I will.
I'll be here on Christmas Day. Just flying solo, do you know what I mean? Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, put me on.
Double pay?
Pardon?
Double pay?
No.
Oh.
Are you cooking on Christmas Day, then?
I am, yeah.
For
yeah.
How many?
15, at least.
What kind of massive family have you got?
Yeah. Don't ask.
I can't even imagine how much stress that is, like, for 15 people. How do you do that?
I'm not panicking yet. I'll panic when I'm a bit hungover on Christmas Day.
Okay, fine. Now, I know you normally choose Chris. He's not here today, but he has left a selection. I'm going to hit you with my one first. This is what I would like to play today on Bangers. Don't actually think you can get a much better selection than this.
Okay.
Porter Robinson, Language. Or you can have Chris's, which he's left for me as a little pre-Christmas present, which is this. This is Wild Out, DJ Zinc featuring Miss Dynamite. That's quite a hard one.
That's good, yeah. I feel, have I got a pick now?
Yeah. Yes. That's
I'm
the idea. How many times have you heard
Wild
this?
Out. Wild Out, DJ Zinc.
Don't you take me there, you don't wanna know where this crazy cool is about to go.
What? Oi, big boy, Greg, your radio show is...
Thank you, Gordon.
Radio 1 Breakfast.
With Greg James.
This podcast is a daily bit of nonsense. Come and give
us your unpopular opinion.
I believe that dinosaurs
did
not exist.
Oh, come on.
Greg James.
If it sounds like your thing, then download it from the new BBC Sounds app. That sounds fancy, doesn't it?
Right, well, that's it. I'm not playing this game now until the new year. We weren't going to play it. And are we playing it on Monday? Ah. Oh. Oh, I was going to have like a proper fit then. About, rather, I'm not doing it to the new year. But then I knew we weren't doing it to the new year anyway. But now we are doing it next week. I don't know what I can do. Like, that was Porter Robinson, Language, one of the best dance records ever.
Scott Mills.
So you'll know by now, we've created our own Scott Mills Show fragrance. One bottle of it, and I'm going to be giving it away to one of you on Christmas Eve morning when we're on Radio 1 Breakfast. Natalie, why do you want it so much?
So me and my sister are, like, obsessed with the Scott Mills Show. We hoo each other all the time. We communicate saying yes constantly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we quite like it. That's just how we communicate. But sadly, she moved to Cyprus in May, so we don't see each other that much now. So we kind of have to do audio notes of communicating in that fashion.
Okay.
So I just thought, what better thing to turn up at Paphos Airport with in February than the Scott Mills perfume as a belated Christmas present?
Yes, you could take it international, mate.
Exactly. That's what I mean. I could take your brand to an RAF base in Cyprus and maybe make you international.
Yeah, just spray it around a bit. People would be like, what's that?
Yeah.
I'm keen for the mass production element, yeah.
I think it'd be a good idea and I'd be happy to start that for you.
Make me rich.
I will.
Well, I like the idea of making it international, so I will consider your request.
Scott Mills.
Right, Rihanna, you've got a really good reason you need the show fragrance Love You by Scott.
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of a better reason than I smell like poo.
Yeah, we had a couple of people this week smelling of poo, and it's like, is that a good idea? I don't want it to be a cover-up.
I mean, it made me laugh, but I do think it's a little bit insulting.
I agree. So you're quite happy to smell of tennis balls, old books and Spanish supermarkets?
I mean, who wouldn't be?
Fine. Okay, tell me why then.
Well, I'm actually blind and I've been blind since birth. And so I don't know what any of you look like. Obviously, you're all gorgeous because I can just sense that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm guessing that if you could smell us, then you would like be able to build up a picture of what we look like a bit, I suppose.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it's worth a try, isn't it?
I'll tell you something though, Rihanna. I am I'm 6'2" and ripped.
Yeah, of course you are.
Yes.
So I feel like having the perfume would give me a better idea of like what you guys are all like and things like that, because then I'd be able to smell your show as well.
Where would you wear it?
Just anywhere, really. I mean, I don't go out on the pole that often, but if I did, maybe I'd wear it.
Oh, you're the best.
I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but yeah.
So how do you listen to the show, Rihanna?
Well, I don't have time to listen in the afternoon because your show tends to be on like at exactly the same time as my lectures, and When you're the only blind student in a lecture, it's really obvious when you don't turn up because you carry a big shiny white cane around with you. So,
right, yeah.
Like everyone knows.
Right, yeah, you
so
can't
I have to go to my
there.
Lectures.
Yeah, I understand that. No. That's another good reason.
So I usually listen to the podcast. I listen to that in the evening while I'm like cooking my dinner or whatever.
Well, listen, Rhianna, it's great to speak to you. We're going to make the decision on Monday, but you have put a very strong case forward.
Thank you.
All right, have a good day. Love you. Bye.
You too. Love you. Bye. Scott
Mills. I'm back tomorrow with the official Christmas chart from 4 on Radio 1. And me and Chris will see you in the morning from 6:30 on Christmas Eve. Hit the theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
Sorry, I was just enjoying the theme tune.
It doesn't grow old.
Well.
Or does it?
I'm not sure it's going to be around in like 20 years.
I think it needs another verse and a chorus maybe and turn it into a proper song.
Not 20 years though, I don't think. No. I think we've got to be honest.
I think that's pushing it.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we today, please?
It's actually an event that we all know and have spoken about before, but I've written a small statement to sum up this chapter, if that's all right with you.
A statement?
Yeah, just a sort of header on the top of this chapter. I quickly wrote it.
OK, is this in capitals? We have to imagine.
Italics.
Italics, OK.
It had been a controversial story that I feel has been wrongly reported and represented. My turn to give my side of the story. What really happened that day?
So this is quite recent, is it?
It is, yes. And it's from our time in Edinburgh when I attempted to do the chicken nugget challenge. which I've had no end of stick from you two. And I think it's about time I give my side of the story.
Now, I think you can still watch this, can't you? Radio 1 YouTube, it's still there. Chris trying to do the chicken nugget challenge on stage at the Fun and Filth Cabaret in Edinburgh.
So I'm going to give you the story of that day. If okay. That's okay with
as you
two.
See it through your eyes.
Through my eyes, exactly what happened. The truth.
Sure. Right, let's get on with
well,
it.
Well, I'm Clive Keane. And I'm ready.
I'm going to be Tom from Keane.
I'm Milton Keynes.
Nice roundabouts.
Ready?
Ready.
Ready.
It had been a tiring and tense day so far. I was with Scott Mills and the rest of the team in Edinburgh, hello. Scotland, putting the final preparations to that evening's Fun and Filth Cabaret show. To be fair, I was mainly just trying to stay out of people's way. I wasn't being entrusted with too many responsibilities.
What do you mean?
Everyone was so busy. The one that doesn't speak was all over the place trying to sort that evening. He had a lot to do.
A lot.
Becky was quite busy. You were sort of busy. But I had,
hello, I was really busy.
I had nothing to do. Literally no one would give me any jobs, even though there were a lot to do.
Yeah.
The day had been busy, though. We had done our normal radio show, which had all gone well, even despite the tiredness from a weekend in Zante the day before. For me, it was just really exciting to be at the Fringe. It was my first proper run out as an official team member, and like every time I've run out onto a pitch when playing football, I knelt down and kissed the turf of the Astro on the seated bit outside the studio.
You did as well!
And pointed to the sky. It was a big moment.
You did.
You know that bit outside the studio where people could go and yeah. sit down? There was yeah. a bar, there was an AstroTurf.
Yeah, fake grass, yeah.
And as we walked through the gates, I did feel emotional as we all walked through together. It was like us and a few other people from work. That I did do what I did with football, and that's just bend down, sign of the cross, bend down, and then look to the sky.
I did witness this.
Did you just think he dropped something?
Yeah.
One of the big highlights of the Radio 1 show was the catering truck next door to the studio, which, although Becky was wary of, was a complete revelation for me. I was given a lunch token every day, starting with beef olives on day one, which I'd never had before, but were epic.
I remember how excited you were about this, because you kept going, oh, I wish we could take this back to work. I wish we could get one of these back at home.
We don't get lunch here.
We do get lunch here, but we just don't have a catering van like on hand 24 hours a day.
It's like a shop we can go to.
I mean, it was brilliant.
He'd never
it
seen
really
it.
Was brilliant.
Mm.
Beef really, olives?
I know.
What even really, is a beef olive?
I didn't think I'd like them. I don't like olives.
Is it beef or olive?
It's beef. Get this. It's
is it like
beef.
A beef tomato?
It's beef with stuffing inside it. It's great.
So it's not an olive at all?
No, and it's just covered in gravy and...
You've changed.
Anyway, it was a great lunch.
He was like, what, even tea and coffee? I was like, yeah?
Yeah.
Get involved?
Yeah. Yeah, and a bread roll. I was wary of eating too much that day, though, as that night was to be the night that I was going to attempt to beat the world record for the most amount of chicken nuggets eaten in 3 minutes, a record that stood at 21. I would have to eat 22 in under 3 minutes to win this challenge, and talk of a potential date with in-betweeners lovely Emily Atack. All day, I was fairly confident that this was going to go my way. However, as the day moved on, a few nerves started to set in. I didn't quite realise the scale of the event, and as the day progressed, I saw the massive theatre that the cabaret was happening in, and all the cameras setting up ready to show this on the red button and on the Radio 1 website.
You got scared.
I hadn't really thought about all of this. I just sort of blocked it out until then, I think.
No, actually, you were being uber confident. Yeah, I could do that.
I didn't think it would be a problem.
You really didn't, though.
There were a few hours to kill between the radio show and the Fun and Filth Cabaret, so not having much to do, I decided to have a beer and decide on my tactics for taking the chicken nugget challenge. I hadn't done much research on the subject, but having starved myself all day, I decided that the best way to get ready for the challenge was to start my engine.
What about the beer and the beef olives?
Yeah.
I decided to start my engine by treating myself to some fried chicken. Oh. This made me more hungry, though, and a few of the guys were treating themselves to food from a Portuguese chicken restaurant, which sounds like Fernando's. So I helped myself to a bit of that as well. I met the lads from Scouting for Girls, who had written a song all about my attempt at the nuggets, which was going to be performed by them live throughout the challenge. I asked for their advice, and they told me I just needed to go for it. Speed was the key. I trusted their opinion, why wouldn't I? And then I heard the crowd roar, and the Fun and Filth theme tune start up. I suddenly realised this was all real. I watched as one by one acts were called up and brought to the side of the stage, each time greeted with a massive cheer. Then a man with a headset came to our area and called for me to come up. I looked up, and as I walked up the ramp, various people patted me on the shoulder and wished me luck. It reminded me very much of the video to the classic Busted song, Who's David?
I'm not familiar. Remind me?
So the whole video to Who's David, in case you don't know... is they're backstage at what looks like sort of Wembley Arena, and it's there they get told in the dressing room, right, showtime, and then it's them moving from the dressing room to the stage.
How exciting.
But it's really exciting and very dramatic, and the cameras follow them as they go through. And
Becky's just now watching the video.
I'm just trying
David.
To find it. Yeah, there's no nuggets so far.
No, there will be no nuggets in this.
But... He's just talking about the build-up.
Oh, right.
Now, let's not forget, the stakes were quite high with this challenge, because if you actually achieved the world record for chicken nuggets, you would have won the hand of Ms. Emily Atack.
Yes, yes. Well, exactly. That was the other added pressure.
That was the thing. It was a date with Emily, wasn't it?
Yeah. That also made it a very unnatural environment as well, because there's not many food-eating competitions where you win an in-betweener at the end of it. Mm. Or an in-betweener lovely. She's not an actual in-betweener, is she? The lads from Scouting for Girls gave me a pep talk. I could see through the curtain there were a lot of people in the room. And then I was given my cue from the man in the headset. 3, 2, 1, on you go. I gave him a second glance. I wondered if he was the same side of the stage guy that was on the X Factor.
I knew you were going to say that.
It was an odd moment because he did that. And I was sort of so focused on going on and doing the job. And then all of a sudden my mind was distracted by him. I was like, hang on a minute, you've robbed that line. But I had to quickly forget that trail of thought. I walked out on stage and one of the more intimidating situations of my life. After a small chat with Scott and Grimmy, I sat down at my seat where I was doing the challenge. The nuggets were in front of me. It was clear they had been sitting there a while. I looked up and people were just staring at me, and there was a large camera pointing right in my face. This was not a happy eating environment. This wasn't a Hut of Pizza buffet or a Chinese all you can eat with my cousin situation. In fact, I didn't really feel hungry at all. And then Scouting for Girls started up. That was weird enough. They were singing a song about me. It was not a natural environment, but going for it, I grabbed 2 nuggets and tried to stuff them both in my mouth.
Oh.
But the nuggets were cold, and this was clearly the wrong way to eat them.
They wouldn't go down. They just congealed into a nugget ball. I was struggling in a very public way. I tried to just stuff more into my mouth, but nothing would go down. I was making things worse. It suddenly began to get very hot. This was not helped when Emily Atack got up off her seat and started to force feed me more of the nuggets. I desperately tried to man up, but swallowing such a huge nugget ball made me feel massively ill. Before the challenge, for health and safety, I had agreed a secret sign if I felt I was going to be sick, so that they could move the cameras away from me to someone else. I needed to do this sign. I was wary, however, that Scouting for Girls had written a whole song, and I didn't want to cut that short. For a minute or so, I held it in. Although the crowd cheered me on, there was nothing I could do. I gave the secret sign. I had failed. I needed 22 nuggets to win. I got 7. It was an incredible opportunity for me to show my worth, and I felt I let everyone down.
How many did you actually swallow? Was it just 7 nuggets in your mouth, or did you... like, did you actually swallow any?
Well, if we're going to be pedantic, I thought I got more in my mouth, actually, than 7, and the big screen wasn't keeping up. So
so now you're blaming someone else, the operator of the big screen.
I felt he had a part to play, actually, in my
Do you think he had ulterior motives?
What do you mean? Jealous?
Yeah, do you think he also fancied Emily Atack?
I think he did. I was looking at the big screen at one point. I looked behind me and it said 2. I was like, come on, you're having a laugh. At least help me out here. We're all on the same team, I
Maybe
thought.
Maybe he's counting nugget balls rather than actual nuggets.
Chris, it wasn't very many, whatever it was. We were all there.
I felt I let everyone down.
You did.
Yes.
I got a lot of stick for my failure, but I hope more people can now empathise with me a bit. If you're ever boshing nuggets, my advice would be slow and steady, and don't eat a large amount of chicken before. It was one of the stranger experiences of my life so far, but I've become a stronger man for it. So does that clear up what happened on that day, really? I feel like I've almost made things worse for myself.
Yes.
I think you blame quite a few people, apart from yourself.
I think there needs to be an inquiry. I think there needs to be a full inquiry into this.
Is this going to be like the Leveson of chicken nuggets?
I think it could be. I think it's got legs, this. The thing is, with my time at the Tap Inn, there hasn't been that many regrets. But that is probably my biggest regret so far. Because I know I could have done better. Mm. I know I could have done better.
And if you had done it, by now you'd be Mr. Emily Atack. Possibly.
Technically, she would have been Emily Stark, probably, wouldn't she?
Yes, whatever you want to think, but yeah.
Imagine being called Mr. Atack. That's a good name, isn't it? I'd pronounce it Attack.
I've bossed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the Tap Inn.
At the Tap End.